Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Memorial Day will be upon us tomorrow, as you are hearing this program, and something that has become a tradition in McKeesport on Memorial Day and on other occasions has been remembering the stories of the McKeesport 23. These were 23 young men who were mostly drafted, some volunteered, into the Vietnam War between 1965 and 1971, and who gave their lives in the service of their country. McKeesport, since the late 1960s, has had a memorial to these young men, and it is believed to be the very first Vietnam War memorial ever erected in the United States. On the line with us is one of the people who is keeping their memory alive. He is himself a veteran. He's Don Nemchik. Good morning, Don.
Well, good morning, Jason.
So good to have you with us. Tell us, first of all, who were the McKeesport 23? I tried to give a little bit of an explanation, but who were they?
Yes, they were representative of our city, McKeesport, back in the 60s during the Vietnam era. They ranged from sons of professionals to mill workers to young men who were drafted. And we even have a young man who was killed who was an immigrant from Czechoslovakia.
Wow.
And we also have a young man who was drafted, Jason, out of high school who was killed in action. So I have quite a tale to tell. And I think it will be informative to the audience to see the sacrifice that was made from our city back in the Vietnam era.
For its size at the time of about 30 or 40,000 people, McKeesport had an awful lot of young men, and I think it was all young men then, who were going off to the service in Vietnam. When did this memorial get erected in front of what was then the Boys Club and is now the La Rosa Youth Club?
It was erected in November 11th, 1966. And the reason I'm quick to answer that, that's Veterans Day of 1966. My cousin, PFC Michael J. Nemchik, was killed February 22nd, 1966. And his death really hit home to McKeesport because all of a sudden we can identify with what we were seeing on the news, what we were reading in the paper. He was the second one killed after Norman Boots Johnson. And when PFC Michael Nemchik was killed, Sam LaRosa was so touched by that, he felt very strongly that there has to be something erected in memory of. Little did he know that there would be other names to follow, of course. And they dedicated that November 11th, 1966, and we purport that that is probably one of the first official Vietnam memorials in the country. And you had mentioned how many per capita that McKeesport lots, a total of 23. And that, again, is one of the largest per capita of that time. So we have a lot to be proud of in McKeesport, and we have a lot to remember in McKeesport.
Tell us first, let's roll this back just a moment or two. Don Nemchik is on the phone with us this morning. Who was Sam LaRosa? For people who grew up in McKeesport, especially my age and a little bit older, he was an institution, but tell us in your own words who he was.
Sam was an institution. He meant so much to us in McKeesport. You have to remember, Sam was an ex-boxer. And we boys back in those days tended to be feisty. And whenever we were playing ball or doing whatever boys do, and you get into the push and shove and match, Sam would get right in the middle and say, okay, let's go. They would go in the gym and give us these big pillow-sized boxing gloves. We'd wail on each other for a couple of minutes, and we were done. But what that meant to us was Sam cared about us. He cared greatly about us. And it didn't matter your race, religion, where you came from in the McKeesport. You were one of Sam's boys. And we still remember that to this day. His family, the center had been named now the foundation, the La Rosa Foundation, has taken over the Boys Club. And it still means a lot to us, Sam's memory, because he just had the heart to take care of boys and just look out for their well-being. It was a different time back then. And many of us who were in the service at that time, would actually go back up to the boys' club. We were so proud. We were in our uniforms, and we would go up and see Sam, and he would just shake our hand and hug us, and it meant a lot to him. And you have to remember, we were starting to get into that era where being in the military was not a very popular thing to do.
We were just about to mention that, yeah.
We knew that we had a place at the boys' club where we would be welcome. In fact, Sam had still has a trove of the letters that were sent to him. And one of the letters that my cousin Michael had sent to him was one of the last letters that Michael had written before he was killed. It's on display at the McKeesport Heritage Center, where we have an entire wall dedicated to the McKeesport 23 with all of their posters, and we have memorabilia in the cases to anyone that wants to go in there and take a look and really get a feel for the outreach that had gone out to the McKeesport 23.
We're talking with Don Nemchek. His brother was one of those who was among the 23 McKeesport residents who were killed during the Vietnam War. There is a new memorial that has been erected, and we're going to talk to Don about that process in a little while, so stay tuned for that. If people want to participate in the ceremony on Memorial Day, what do they need to do if they want to come down and see it for themselves?
To participate in our Memorial Day ceremony, all they need to do is show up at the La Rosa Boys and Girls Club. It's formerly the Boys Club of America. It's up on White Street, on Ravine Street, actually. What we do is we gather around 11:15. We hoist the colors, of course. We have some speakers. We have a chaplain that comes in and speaks. We read the names because it's very interesting. One of the chaplains who is from Auberly Boys and Girls Home up on Hartman Street once told us, you know, in his tradition, he was from Nigeria, that you die twice. You die when your heart and your brain stops, but you also die when someone no longer says your name. So I have the honor most of the time of saying the 23 names and reading them, and we then play taps. It's about a 15 or 20 minute ceremony, and then we just mingle around with each other. And again, we all the fellows up there, we know each other. We know our families. And an interesting aside to this, Jason, is we have the original wreath that was used in 1966. Of course, we've upgraded a little bit, but we pass that wreath along with the families that attend the ceremonies. We line up in order in which our loved ones fell. And just for clarification, Michael was my cousin.
Oh, cousin, excuse me.
Not
yes.
My brother, but
thank you.
We were all brothers in arms. But that said, I stand next to Kelly Johnson, who's Boots Johnson's daughter. Boots Johnson was killed in 1965. He was not a combatant, he was a medic. He was so well-loved in McKeesport. He was a manager of the football team, and just everybody gravitated to his upbeat personality. When he joined the Army, he didn't want to be a combatant. He became a medic to help people. Well, he was killed very soon upon arriving in Vietnam. His daughter was 6 months old at the time.
Wow.
She never misses a ceremony, and she stands next to me, and I am proud to stand with her. But those are the type of stories that we have. And we would welcome all of McKeesport and local area residents to join us in memory of not only the McKeesport 23, but all of those who served our country.
We're talking with Don Nemchek about the McKeesport 23 and about the ceremony tomorrow that will be held to remember their sacrifice. It was the 23 young men who were killed in Vietnam who were from McKeesport. The city believes that it has the very first Vietnam War memorial that was ever erected November 11th, 1966. In your research, and I know you and the late Walt Yeager and Joe Hoffman and a group of other volunteers have been kind of keeping this flame alive here. What was Sam LaRosa's motivation for wanting the Boys Club, as it was known back then, to have a memorial?
I think it was the motivation of love of country, and I also think it was the love of McKeesport and the boys that he encountered up at the his recreation center. He just had a passion that was unbridled, and you could see it in him. We meant everything to him, along with his family and his country. So that was his motivation to keep that recognition alive. And again, little did he know the magnitude of the result of the Vietnam War, with having 23 men, 11 of which were Boys Club members. And little did he know that was going to grow to that scale.
Let's pause right there. Don Nemchek is our guest. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
A quick clarification on one item. Several times during this broadcast, we mentioned that there is a Memorial Day service being held in McKeesport. There are actually two services. The first one is at 10 a.m. at the War Memorial on May 27th. That's at the corner of Lyle Boulevard and Market Street. The second one is at 11 a.m. at the La Rosa Youth Club, 901 Ravine Street. Don, you yourself are a veteran. I believe you were in the U.S. Navy during Vietnam. When were you called up? Or did you volunteer?
Yes, sir. I enlisted in 1970.
Okay.
I enlisted into the Navy, and I was, after the battery test, I was selected to go to communications school in Bainbridge, Maryland. I was then assigned to a naval communications station in the Western Pacific, Guam Island, and we serviced the ships at sea off the coast of Vietnam with ship-to-shore communications, providing them the coordinates that they needed and the flight operations. And then later I was on board the USS Constellation, which was an attack aircraft carrier. We sailed into Vietnam waters in 1972 and 1973. In fact, USS Constellation was the last carrier to fly air operations in Vietnam while they were signing the Paris Peace Accord.
Wow.
So we're very proud of the service that our ship did, as along with many, many others. And then afterwards, came back home and to San Diego, came back to McKeesport, and was fortunate to get employed by several of the local banks in McKeesport. Many of the listeners will remember the name of Equibank.
Sure.
And McKeesport National Bank. And later, in 1988, I was assigned a position at the U.S. Small Business Administration here in Pittsburgh. I was the Veterans Business Development Officer. Thumbnail sketch of what I did was I helped military veterans start or expand their small business, making sure they knew the access to capital, what resources are available to them. And I was very proud to do that because I was helping my fellow veterans move forward.
And you are retired from the SBA now, correct?
I am retired from the SBA. I retired in 2005, but I continued working with veterans. I was doing some consulting with the University of Pittsburgh and a business incubator on the north side, and I did that successfully until COVID hit in 2020.
Sure.
First, they closed the building down and things were going, and I was 70 years old at the time, so I figured it's about time for me to hang it up. However, I stay very active, Jason, in my advocacy with veterans through the Veterans Breakfast Club. And if I may mention, we do a Zoom podcast every Monday at 7 o'clock, and we also have, at no cost to the veterans, we publish a magazine that goes out quarterly, and our tagline is every veteran has a story, and it's from all eras. We still have World War II veterans on board with us, and interesting story, Jason. Mm-hmm. We have a World War II veteran who lives in Forest Hills. She was a Navy wave who helped break the Enigma code. And how that came about was she was going to Carnegie Tech at the time, now Carnegie Mellon.
Mm-hmm.
She graduated. She didn't want to be a Rosie the Riveter or work in a factory. She felt she had more to offer. She joined the Navy, and they came up and says, does anybody here know how to speak German? Well, she raised her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Come with me. So she then was assigned to Washington, D.C. to help break the Enigma code, and that was a lifesaver for many, many, many sailors and merchant marines in the Atlantic. And she's still with us. She's 103 years old, and
Wow. She
is on our Zoom call every Monday. She's been heralded many times on the Memorial Day broadcast on WQED Channel 13, and she's still sharp as a whip, and we're just proud to have her.
Well, we're talking with Don Nemchek, who is himself a veteran of the Vietnam War, who's one of the volunteers who has been helping keep the memory of the 23 McKeesport residents who died in the Vietnam War alive through the McKeesport 23 committee. Don will be down there tomorrow at the La Rosa Youth Club, and you kind of brought it up, and I think it's important to mention. You mentioned that at the time that the that Sam LaRosa back in 1966 through 1971 was putting up this memorial, which is believed to be the first memorial to people who died in the Vietnam War, to servicemen who died in the Vietnam War. This war was becoming very unpopular. You came back in what year?
I came back when I was discharged in 74. I returned back to the States in 73.
What was the attitude towards people who were returning from Vietnam?
Let me address that. When I returned in 1973, I came back home on our ship, USS Constellation. We were home ported in San Diego, California. San Diego, California, at that time and even today, is a huge Navy town. Mm-hmm. So we didn't encounter the protesters as they were up at Seattle Airport or Travis Air Force Base, where, in fact, military guys who were returning from Southeast Asia were told, don't wear your uniform because cab drivers won't pick you up. You'll have protesters accosting you, etc. And many guys said, what kind of country am I returning to? I didn't experience that because, again, I returned back in San Diego. When I came back to McKeesport, again, McKeesport was a totally different venue as well, because McKeesport, with their patriotism, which still maintains today, no one gave you that cold shoulder. In fact, when you went to the VFW or the walked down the street with your uniform, you didn't buy a beer. People were happy to see you. They shook your hand. And that stands to McKeesport's patriotism. You remember, we were a blue-collar town, a lot of ethnicity, many, many World War II veterans. Certainly, there were some people that had feelings that the war was wrong, etc. But right. They didn't express them like there was on the West Coast, where veterans were actually accosted and actually told.
So that was I'm bringing this up because that was not a myth. I've heard some people say, "Oh, that was a myth." No, but that never actually happened. Mm-hmm. You were told when you mustered out at San Diego that not to do those things.
That's correct, and particularly the GIs that were returning, coming through Travis Air Force Base, which they were flown home from Vietnam, and that short time that they were spending up at Travis Air Force Base, going down to San Francisco Airport. And you have to remember those times in the late 60s, early 70s, the counterculture was just beginning to develop. McKeesport didn't have that counterculture. It was more of a hardworking town that respected the GIs and those who served their country. And I think that's a feather in the cap of the people in McKeesport.
I remember someone telling me that the McKeesport was still listening to doo-wop records, and Porky Chedwick and Terry Lee were playing those kind of music,
Jason,
of the working class.
Let me address that, Jason. I did a podcast for the Veterans Breakfast Club, How the Vietnam War Changed Modern Music. And you're absolutely right. In McKeesport, we were still listening to the Temptations, Motown.
Yeah.
We were listening to Terry Lee and Porky Chedwick, Terry Lee and Porky Chedwick were playing what was known back then as race records.
Mm-hmm.
They were done by the old rhythm and blues guys from the South. That's how Porky Chedwick got his dusty discs. And we still listen to that to this day. However, we didn't have that large English influence of the Beatles and the other groups that were singing protest songs until 1970. And what happened in 1970 on May 4th was Kent State.
Yeah.
Those four students were murdered, one from our area, Allison Krauss.
Yep.
And whenever Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young made the song Four Dead in Ohio, that really started the anti-war movement. And to this day, you can still hear the haunting sounds of that music. But back in our day, from McKeesport, we had a different attitude. And I think that came with how we grew up and how we were raised by parents who were mostly hardworking, blue-collar people. And they passed that down to us.
We have another break coming up, and the time goes very quickly. But let me ask you, we have been through in this country, especially since the tragic attacks of September 2001. We have been through several generations now. We've seen stories now of fathers and sons and mothers and daughters who both have served in one or another Gulf conflict. You have worked with veterans. Does the attitude seem to be a lot different today in terms of appreciation of our veterans than it was 50 years ago?
It certainly has, Jason, and I'll tell you why that happened. Vietnam veterans, we have a mantra. We said, we're not going to let what happened to us happen to another generation of military. And that's why when the GIs were returning from Iraq and Afghanistan and such, many Vietnam Veterans of America, that was the organization, lined the airports and had many parades for them in the parking lot and gave them flags and thanked them for their service. It's a total difference. And that was generated by the fact that 50 years later, Vietnam veteran says, we're not going to let this happen to these guys, what happened to many of us.
Let's pause right there. Don Nemchek is our guest. We're talking about the McKee Sport 23. They will be rededicating the monument at the La Rosa Youth Club in front of the building, 901 Ravine Street in McKee Sport. Broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKee Sport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds. To wrap
support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKee Sport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKee Sport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Just a quick clarification. Several times we mentioned the ceremony being held at the La Rosa Youth Club on Memorial Day. There are actually two ceremonies. The first is at 10 a.m. That's at the War Memorial at the corner of Lyle Boulevard and Market Street in McKee Sport. The second one is at 11 a.m., not at noon, at 11 a.m. at the La Rosa Youth Club, 901 Ravine Street. Back for a few more minutes with Don Nemchek. We're talking about the McKee Sport 23. Tell me who Walt Yeager was, because that's a name that someone who I met several years ago and seemed to me to really be spearheading the effort to remember the McKee Sport 23. Who was Walt?
The late Walt Yeager was instrumental in getting recognition to the Vietnam veterans. I'm very proud to have known him and worked with him. In fact, he was so instrumental in getting the wall that heals, the replica of the Vietnam Wall that came to Renzi Park, I believe it was 2019. And for 3 days, we had the replica of the Vietnam Wall that Walt did a lot of the paperwork, a lot of the pushing of it, because every city wanted that exhibit in their hometown. And it took years for Walt to do that. He was passionate. He was not a veteran himself, but he felt so strongly about the Vietnam-era veterans. His son had written a class project, did some history research on the Vietnam Wall, which further galvanized Walt to have some recognition for the Vietnam veterans in McKee Sport. He sadly missed because, again, he was tireless in his efforts to keep the Vietnam era veterans in the forefront, and in particular the McKee Sport 23.
Now, the original monument down there at the La Rosa Youth Club. You can check out the La Rosa Youth Club's website at larosayouthclub.org. It is down there at 901 Ravine Street, but there's a new monument that was dedicated last year. Tell us about the new monument, which is out at Renzi Park.
The new monument has the names. It's a granite square, and it has the names of the McKee Sport 23. We originally had it in the McKee Sport High School courtyard, but found that being it was a high school, it wasn't open all the time. We moved that monument to in front of the McKee Sport Heritage and History Center, which clearly was the most perfect thing to do. You know, we walk by there often, and we still see veterans maybe sitting there pensive, remembering their friends. It's a much better place. And what happened was the McKee Sport veterans, we used to meet for breakfast once a month, and we determined that we need more than just the memorial at the Boys Club. We wanted to have something of all 23 names. So we raised the money ourselves. And we got some help, from Sue Striffler and her people at the funeral home. And we created a very, very worthwhile memorial to the McKee Sport 23. It's very simple, but it is very touching to anyone who knew any of these boys. And that's what it's all about. When people visit Renzi Park now, they'll just walk by. Some of them will stop, and you can see they're going to bow their head and say a prayer in memory of those men from McKee Sport who lost their lives in Southeast Asia.
Tell us about, there was a ceremony last May, I believe it was, to rededicate that memorial. How many people came out for that?
There was, Jason. There was over 300 people at that ceremony. It was a rainy Saturday. Yep. We could have had 300 more if we could have squeezed them into the McKee Sport Heritage Center. And we had speakers, of course. Joe Hoffman spoke. I read the names of the McKee Sport 23. We had some family members that spoke. And we had family members that came from South Carolina, from other states, just in memory, after all these years, of their family member. And it's just so very telling, the care and the memory that people have for these loved ones. It's unprecedented. I haven't been everywhere, of course, but I have not seen the outcry and the heartfelt sentiments that people have for these young men who were killed in Southeast Asia for our country.
Well, we have a couple of minutes left. The time goes quickly. I want to ask you, again, I don't want to bring up a sensitive topic, but you alluded to it, Don Nemchek, and that is that everybody gets older, you and me included, and we've lost some folks like Walt Yeager who were helping spearhead this event. What kind of help do you need and these volunteers need to keep moving this ceremony forward into the future?
Well, the help we need is twofold. One, we invite everyone to attend our ceremonies up at the Boys Club. We do it not only on Memorial Day, we also do it on Veterans Day. And it wouldn't hurt to visit that area, the Boys Club, because right now the La Rosa Foundation is doing a great job helping the youth of McKeesport stay off the streets. A donation to the La Rosa Foundation certainly would be most welcome. Also, visit the McKeesport History and Heritage Center in Renzi Park. So many people have yet to be there, Jason. It amazes me because it's free to open to the public. We have a total wall that's dedicated to the McKeesport 23. Also, there are so many artifacts from the department stores to the churches to the athletes that played in McKeesport. You have to get in there to really get a good grip on it. And again, a donation or a membership to the McKeesport Heritage Center in the name of the McKeesport 23 would be most welcome.
Don, I wonder if we could ask you if you could tell us the names or read off the names of the McKeesport 23, these 23 young men who gave their life in the Vietnam War from McKeesport.
Jason, it's my honor to do that. We searched the Department of Defense and State of Pennsylvania military records to determine these names to make sure that we didn't miss anyone. Here are the names of the McKeesport 23. Lieutenant Richard Michael Arnovitz. PFC James Francis Brooks, Jr. PFC Tyrone Burse. First Sergeant Donald Robert Donaldson. Specialist 4th Class Vincent Galka. Specialist 4th Class Curtis Gay. Specialist 4th Class John Gurmack. Gunnery Sergeant Raymond Geibel. Private 1st Class Leward Howard Huff. Private 1st Class Norman Wallace Johnson. Private 1st Class Kenneth Klein. Specialist 4th Class James Long. Captain Terry Martell. Petty Officer 2nd Class Patrick McNellis. Staff Sergeant David Moser. Private 1st Class Michael Nemchik. Private 1st Class Michael Pliska. Major Jack Plum. Lance Corporal Gregory Popowitz. Private 1st Class Tibor Sotak. Lance Corporal Thomas Sweeney. Private 1st Class James West. Last Sergeant Thomas Woodcross. That concludes the reading of the McKeesport 23.
Thank you, Don Nemchek. You mentioned you have breakfast meetings for veterans in the McKeesport area. Are those still going on, and how would somebody get involved with that?
It's easy to get involved by just going on to our website. It's the Veterans Breakfast Club, and our website is veteransbreakfastclub.org. You can find a list of the events that we do throughout the area every month. You could also see past shows that we have done on podcast and on Zoom. And you could subscribe to our magazine, the VBC magazine, that comes out quarterly. Last winter, we did a feature program on a Korean War veteran from McKeesport. And it's free to veterans and non-veterans. We send out over 15,000 throughout the country.
And I was going to say, that's not just McKeesport. That's all over the Pittsburgh area and around the country as well.
That's correct. But we welcome all veterans and their families and non-veterans to attend our programs either virtually and our programs that we have throughout the area. We're expanding our outreach. Just recently, we had a program up at St. Vincent's College up in Greensburg. We did a program last year at the McKeesport History Center for the Flag Day on June 4th because we missed Mr. Fliegel, who was a well-known McKeesport individual who kept Flag Day alive throughout his 90-plus years. Sadly, he's no longer with us, but his memory stays.
Don Nemchek has been our guest this morning. Thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes to talk with us, Don.
It was my pleasure, Jason. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening this week. to Two Rivers 30 Minutes. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at TubeCityOnline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online. We'll